Mr. Wilson Hume, did you want to make a comment?
I will.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Arnold Wilson Hume, Victor, Idaho. I've been an engineer here since 1987, involved with the Teton Creek and what's happened in it quite a bit. Fairly knowledgeable, other than John Latham, probably know as much about the creek as, at least the history of the creek, as anybody here. I first heard of this over at a FEMA floodplain study conference, and the discussion and how the Department of Water Resources was supporting creating a district here and touting this being a wonderful new thing. And as soon as I hear another taxing district, Arnold is a little scared. I testified it when we had our hearings in for the fire districts. They promised us this, they promised us that, and they have kept none of those promises. They've totally run amok and aboard of what they planned. I believe in planning. I believe in doing things positive, or I wouldn't be an engineer. But in reality, an engineer is a rapist, because we're out there moving ground, doing things. I grew up on Trail Creek, and that's most of my experience, but I've been involved with irrigation in Teton Creek and probably four or five of the subdivisions on Teton Creek. Helped build two or three of the bridges there. When I first was involved with Teton Creek, the county asked me to put a bridge in there at the Cemetery Road. And I went up and evaluated it, and if you can believe this or not, what they now have is about a 32, 34 foot span bridge, 8 foot high to carry the creek. At that time, they had 2 4-foot culverts in one place, and then they had 2 3-foot culverts at another place, and a side channel that was an irrigation channel, and that was carrying the creek to the, at that time, to their ability. Of course, it flooded over the road. The road had a low spot, and it took care of itself. And at that time, the history of that is Teton County itself had gone in and mined that creek and crushed gravel out of it for their purposes. And then after them, a contractor went in and did this before the Lynn Moses was ever involved. And I don't approve of what Lynn Moses did. I was an engineer on the project, was involved, but I do not approve what happened and what they did. And what they did, because Teton Creek is exactly what John and these others have testified. The gravel there is very unstable, rolls and so forth, and it does do downstream, and it does head cut to some degree, not 2 miles up the creek from one project. But when I was involved, the project upon state line, just below that, and we put a bridge in there on the minor channel. We did quite a bit of study and was quite surprised to find the minor channel wasn't mapped by FEMA, or wasn't mapped by nothing as a channel. It was just a side channel, and the irrigators took out of it. One of these canals that takes out of there was off of this so-called minor channel, but they showed the whole flood water going in the south channel, which we weren't doing anything with. Well, when floods came, our channel carried half the water, no question, and whatever, you know. It's just man cannot control what Mother Nature does in this kind of environment circumstance, as Roy Moulton said. And I observed at that time the cottonwoods falling over, the river, the creek changing from up at the state line, which it had hardly very little work done above there. You go a mile above there, and the creek is very stable, and up there, you know, man hasn't been in it, but it's just a stabler creek. And what's happened is, up there, there's large gravel, I mean, boulders in the creek bed, and they're stable, and they're so forth. You come down a little bit, you get the lighter sediments, and of course, the road's a lot worse. I was standing in my office when supposedly the state's doctorate of hydrology was in there and arguing with me what they was doing here and their proposal, and he was telling me how maximum flow was like 5 CFS you can have in these creeks, it'll do flow. And I says, what's the flow out here in Teton Creek, Trail Creek, right out of my office? Tell me what that is. The water was beautifully clear, there was no erosion, there was nothing. He estimated 8 CFS. Well, I measured the day before, and it's 9.5 CFS. Beautiful, clear water. Trail Creek is a whole different circumstance. Much stabler base. We have a hard pan down there. It stabilizes. You don't usually cut in through the hard pan. So it's a different environment in Trail Creek than you have these channels here in Driggs, especially the Teton Creek. Is very erodible, and these problems happen. I am leery of a district because of what I said. The creation of a huge umbrella snowball that just creates a huge thing. And like Roy said, I don't know how you're going to solve this Mother Nature and the trees falling over, because as I've walked up and down Teton Creek and seen, every time you have a major event, you go up there and you see two or three aspens fell over, and it caused a whole different process going on. I would love to see what so-called agencies and groups here in the valley have done on this restoration on Teton Creek, how it holds up in a major flood event, so we had some idea what we're looking at and what the cost would be. Because I assume as soon as this one happens, other districts in the county will be proposed and happen once we create this. And probably rightfully so, if they can accomplish what they claim they will and will do. But I'm here to tell you, they will not. The Friends of the Teton River were involved directly in Trail Creek's restoration project like 6 years ago. The next summer, when the high water came, which was not at a very high water, it was not really unusual, they contributed 30,000 tons of sediment into the Teton River from their project, that the banks eroded out and they washed it down, and they haven't done 1 ounce of work to restore or correct that in 6 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Can we have a correction for the record?
Well, actually, we'll get to that. We'll get to that spot. So we'll allow for follow-up comments too. I have reached the end of the sign-in sheet. Is there anyone else present right now who wants to make an initial comment? If so, raise your hand, and we'll have you come up and provide some testimony. Go.
I was on that list, but I was only informed last night. And after listening to what there is, I would like to take a few more minutes.
And we'll allow you to take a few more minutes too. So is there anybody else that wants to make an initial comment? Hearing none, we will. Why don't we go ahead, Mr. Christensen, if you would like to make, and really anybody who wants to make a follow-up comment, for the record, we'll allow that too. So go ahead, Mr. Christensen.
I'm Alvin Christensen, living in the state where I was from before. I was from Rigby, Idaho, and moved out of the valley for health reasons. But I still own 250 acres of land in Teton Valley. I'm not able to vote here because I don't live here. However, I did vote here for 11 years because I maintained a residence here. Anyway, I have lived, and we have owned land that is in this flood zone for some 50 or 60 years, and we maintained it as we owned it. And a lot of this ground that's now barren and not being farmed, we farmed and took beautiful crops off from it. And this work that Mr. Moses and the county did on that shut off the supply of water that come into the canal. So I built a $7,000 structure, which now can be controlled and shut off by the Department of Water Resources. And that's what they're doing. I want to talk about Teton Creek, where the highway is. When I was a boy, in February, I'd go down there right under the bridge and catch bullheads because the water table was up that high. Now you go 2 miles below the bridge to find where the water is. This reservoir that Mr. Latham talked about has gone down 30 to 35 feet, because they're not letting us put the water out on the land and irrigate with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lean, you had said that you'd like to provide follow-up comment. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to speak as a stream restoration director for Friends of the Teton River. And yes, Arnold, we were involved in that project on Trail Creek, but that was a Natural Resource Conservation Services project designed by their engineer and constructed as per their specs. We were a landowner's representative on that project. So I want to clarify that. The bottom line is, with Teton Creek, you know, a lot of things that have been said here today are true. Teton Creek is an alluvial fan. Alluvial fans are prone to avulsions, to situations where the stream channel moves around. We can certainly look at those aerial photos and see that historically Teton Creek was all over Drix, all the way to the airport and back. But what's happened is that development has occurred within the floodplain. And obviously, streams need floodplains. There are pressure relief valves for flood events. They dissipate flood energy. They put that water somewhere. And yes, some of it does go down canals. Teton Creek, for example, approximately 500 CFS can be diverted without destroying John's canals. And he's said that in the past. Read less about right, 500 CFS about max. A large flood event on Teton Creek would put you at over 2,000 CFS. So does that help relieve some of the pressure? Yeah, a bit, but not a lot in the event of a large flood event. Ideally, all homes and infrastructure would be removed from the floodplain, and the stream will be allowed to move around as it does naturally, as it did. But that's not the situation that we're in. That's not the reality of today. Today, there's over $30 million worth of homes and infrastructure in the floodplain. So that's not an economic, it's just not economically viable to remove those homes. And so we're in a situation where we have a stream that moves around. We have floods that threaten dregs, threaten the infrastructure that's out there, public infrastructure, private infrastructure, Teton County landfill. The flood control district idea is there to develop ways and means and provide funding to do the best job possible to help control those floods. That's what it's here for. There's no silver bullet for controlling floods on Teton Creek. That's true. The restoration project we just completed is about as close to silver bullet as we've been able to develop through the engineering funds that we've been able to put into the channel. There's lots of restoration work left to be done on the stream. It will take time. It will take funding. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. But it is going to require quite a bit of funding, and it is going to be done in a fashion that will be controlled by the Flood Control District Commissioners and will be done in a fashion that goes after the biggest problematic areas sooner than later. For example, Teton Creek was moving laterally into the Teton County landfill at a rate of about 10 to 20 feet per year on the bigger years. That was a big red flag. Is that stabilized now? Yeah. Is that going to move during large flood event? No, it won't. And so that is an example of what the Flood Control District can do to help protect the infrastructure that's out there. I would invite anybody to come next spring and take a look at the restoration work that we've finished out there, and I can explain how it works, how we designed it, how we designed it to accommodate upstream instabilities that still exist. Cottonwood trees floating downstream, sediment, those issues. So we've certainly taken all that in consideration as best we can. So that's the idea behind this flood control district or any type of restoration work on Teton Creek is to restore the channel as best we can and mitigate the flood events as best we can now that we're in the situation that there's infrastructure within the floodplain. And this district will help to propagate this ongoing restoration stabilization work that needs to occur in all directions on Teton Creek. And just one more comment. Historically, Teton Creek was a fairly stable channel. And what I mean by that is if you look back at the photos of photos of Teton Creek prior to development within the floodplain, you'll see that it had been a fairly stable system, at best guess, since the late 1800s, which were the last rounds of large, massive flood events that we had in this region of the country. And since then, due to the infrastructure that's been constructed in the channel, as John Latham mentioned, as soon as you start to churn up that stream bed, it unravels very quickly. If you go into the reference reaches on Teton Creek, those that haven't been manipulated or changed due to infrastructure development, it's very difficult to even pick a piece of cobble out of the stream bed. Very, very stable situation, sure. There were avulsions over time, slowly, historically, the channel did move around, that's absolutely true. But since the development has occurred in the floodplain and the stream bed has been manipulated, we've seen widespread and rapid movement of the channel that wouldn't be considered natural movement or natural rates of movement of the channel. So ideally, the restoration work on Teton Creek would occur in such a way that floods would be mitigated through trying to get the stream back towards this more natural idea of erosion, both laterally and vertically. And what I mean by vertical instability, that's scour and deposition. So again, I would invite anybody to come out and have a look at the work that we did next spring. If they have any other questions about what we've done on Teton Creek, the success that we're hoping to have out there and our overall objectives and goals of the work that we've done so far, to please come see me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lee. I apologize. Is there anyone else who would like to make a follow-up comment? Go ahead, Mr. Walker.
Yes, on behalf of Huntsman Springs, we highly recommend you do not move the channel back on the other side of the airport. We'd like to save the vodka plant and our golf course.
Okay, thank you. We'll keep that in mind. Is there anyone else who has a comment?
Can you just repeat the address for written comments?
I will. If we're done, I've got some. Conclusion things that we can go through, and I'll include that. So is there any other testimony that needs to be given? Hearing none, then we will conclude the record of oral statements in this proceeding. The hearing record will remain open for 10 days through January 24, 2014, to allow time for the submittal of written comments as provided in the notice of this proceeding. Please send written comments to IDWR at P.O. Box 83720. And that's in Boise, Idaho, and the zip code is the exact same, 83720. Pursuant to Idaho Code Section 42-3108, the department will issue an order either recommending that the district be organized or recommending that the district not be organized. The order will be based on the information provided with the petition, the public testimony, both written and verbal, and any other relevant data found in the department's records. If the department recommends that the district be created, the order will be recorded with Teton County and notice will be provided to the appropriate parties. Any order from the department shall be considered a final order and may be appealed as outlined in the Idaho Code. And there are also, I would recommend anybody who gets to that point where they would need to file an appeal, please refer to Chapter 31 of Title 42. It describes how those, after something has been recorded with the county, how that can be appealed through the district court system within the state. So that concludes what I have. Thank you all for attending and for your participation. The record is now closed, except for the taking of written comments.